Good day to everyone. Our main topic for today, of course, is still the salvation by Jesus Christ. And we are here to focus who is our Savior. Now, of course, His name is Jesus, and He is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Almighty Lord and Master. Now, today we'll focus on His coming in the flesh. Of course, as a Savior, He will come. There are two phases that Christ will come. The first coming is His priestly function, of course, giving Himself as a sacrifice, being He is also the one who will offer Himself as a sacrifice. And of course, the second coming is the kingly. In terms, He will come as a king. But of course, we are now first in the first coming, who came in the flesh. So therefore, let's look into the biblical prophetic message in the Torah or in the Old Testament, that is in Nevi'im, or in the prophets. In the prophets says in Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 7 verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, so it is a sign that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, of course, being interpreted God with us, which is being fulfilled in, Matthew 1, verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, God with us. Emmanuel. El means God. Emmanuel means, that comes from the root word with us. Okay, so now to go further, and this is being prophesied also again in Isaiah, chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 9. Verse 6. Now, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," so the child is a son given, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Government, so he will rule. Okay? "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Since He is our Everlasting Father, the child that will be born, the son that will be given to us is the Everlasting Father. Therefore, He is a God because He is an Everlasting Father to us. And the Mighty God here is, of course, in Hebrew means Gibor, meaning strong and mighty, referring Himself to, as usually rendered, as Mighty God. So, at the same time, let's continue on verse 7. "Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord will perform this." Yeah, it's plenty of word here, everlasting and forever, because the one who came in the flesh is, of course, from everlasting. He is eternal. That's why, again, in that is
Micah
chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, because his government shall be upon his shoulder, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, because this prophetic message of Isaiah and Micah is being fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, let's go to verse 4. It says, "And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them," take note, "where Christ should be born." Where Christ should be born. "And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets," that is pointing to Micah, "and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule over my people Israel." So it's very clear, the one who will rule Israel, the one who will come as a governor or as a king to rule Israel, and that king is the Messiah, is from everlasting. He is not a man that is just born out of relation among man and a woman. He came in. That's why John, 1 John, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, okay, verse 1. It says, especially let's focus on verse 3, it says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." So anyone, it says here, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So he came in the flesh. He incarnate, the Christ, the Son of God, the Almighty, the Lord and Master, came in the flesh. That's why it's very clear in John. Now let's go to the perspective of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Okay, it says here, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Short, it says the only begotten. Begotten, it's meaning one of its kind, a unique one of its kind, one and only. So if the Father is God, of course, the only begotten is also God. That's why it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay? So, therefore, it is very, very clear in the Bible, from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of the of prophets, from Isaiah and Micah, and to Matthew, "And coming in the flesh, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he is Emmanuel, God with us." That's why let's go back to Matthew chapter 2, okay? Excuse me, okay. Okay, so we have read this from Bethlehem, no? He He came in the flesh. Now, his coming in the flesh, of course, it is specifically being prophesied, the place where he will come in the flesh, that is in Bethlehem. Incidentally, Bethlehem is a compound word, means Beth, and Lechem means house of bread. And of course, where will the bread of life will come in the flesh? It is in the Bethlehem, that is an old name, in the ancient name is Ephratah. So therefore, it's so accurate that he's coming in the flesh as the Savior of the world, because as the Savior of the world, our Savior is the only begotten Son, and he is the Christ, the Almighty, the Lord and Master. So it's very clear, and later on we will discuss why the Lord came in the flesh. So thank you and good day. See you in the next topic.